Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Radcliffe, and it is Monday, August 14th, in the heart of fantasy football draft season. And on today's podcast, I'm going to break down the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for you, a team in transition. What does quarterback look like after Tom Brady, and what is the impact on Chris Godwin, on Mike Evans, on Cade Otton, heck, on Rashad White? We're going to get into all of that and more on the podcast. Before I do, though, I got to tell you, I asked and you guys responded. We're now well up over 200 ratings on Apple Podcasts, 216 to be precise, but still a long way to go to 1,000. We're going to get there. I'm going to get there with your help, and you can help yourself as well because we have a contest going on. All you have to do to enter this contest to win a year of FTN Fantasy Plus. That is a $100 value right there, but all you have to do is rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. You got to give it the actual review, though, and in your review, leave your Twitter handle, and you're entered in to win. And as promised, I am going to pick another winner this week, and let's do it right now. So this week's lucky winner, the review title is Dominate, and it says, just listen to Dwight Schrute listening to Michael Scott. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. Great advice. Hurts my feelings every time. Goes on to say, listen to Jeff because he's got this ish down. Guaranteed fantasy football improvement. And it is at S. Switzer. It's S-W-I-E-S-S-T-E-R. S. Weister. I'm guessing that's what it is. Or it's Switzer. Whatever. If that's you... I hope I pronounced it correctly, but you know the drill. I am not announcing this on social media. This is only for us to know, so here's what you're going to do. Create yourself a little account. If you don't already have one over at ftnfantasy.com, that'll make things a lot easier for us to hook it up, and then reach out to me on Twitter, and I'll keep an eye out for it, and that's our fourth winner. Four already. How many? Four. You want to get in, review the podcast. Hey, if you just want to help me out, review the podcast, rate the podcast on Apple. Huge, huge help. Also, you could just buy a subscription if you'd like to do that as well. It is fantasy football draft season. We have 16 cheat sheets at ftnfantasy.com. They are all updated. Their updates are in before I hit record on the podcast. All 16 of them ready to go. With a little bit of movement after the first weekend of preseason. Nothing major, but a little bit of movement. And that is important. I will be updating them on Saturday before I go to my draft. I will be updating them the following Monday and then the following Saturday before I go to my draft. That way you guys are always hooked up. And then if any crazy-ish, as Switzer would say here, goes down, I will also update. So I'm just trying to get you as much info as possible so you can dominate those drafts. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And it is a 365-day subscription, so you get this thing straight on through the season, right on to next year as well. Also, real quick, a shout-out to our presenting sponsor, Circa. The Circa Millions contest is going down. You can sign up for it right now. The contest is picking five NFL games each week of the season against the spread. A lot easier said than done, but if you win it, it is $1 million first place prize. The top 100 get payouts. There's also $100K in place for last place, $50K for second to last place. So there's a lot of different ways to win. You also have quarterly payments during the season as well. If you want to register, go to Circa or one of the sister properties in Vegas, or you can use a proxy service if you're out of state. Shout out to them. Appreciate them for being the presenting sponsor of the show. So let's get into Tampa. I mean, what a difference a quarterback makes, right? It was, you could tell before Brady, there was the nucleus of a good team. You have one of the better receivers of his generation, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, obviously emerging. A lot of pieces in place on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of pieces in place on the offensive side of the ball, but it's the ultimate team game where if you don't have one position, you're not going to be particularly good. Brady's last season with the team, they were 8-9, but obviously he's out. So is Byron Leftwich, by the way. Dave Canales is in, coming over from Seattle to take over as the offensive coordinator. Of course, Todd Bowles is still there as the head coach. Being that Canales is the new OC, I do think we're going to see a departure from a lot of the Bruce Arians stuff. So I don't really know that there's much we can garner from last year's numbers. Plus, with Brady out of the mix, it's just a completely different ballgame. So he's out of the mix. Leonard Fournette is out of the mix. Cameron Brate, also Scotty Miller, all out. They brought in Baker Mayfield. They also brought in Chase Edmonds. He's in the mix potentially for the number two job. I'll talk about that in a moment. But also via the draft, Trey Palmer and Payne Durham, deeper names to know there. Probably more dynasty names than anything. And even then, not too overly optimistic. But I think we have to start with quarterback here because, well, the quarterback battle isn't solidified. You know, Baker Mayfield started the first preseason game, but it looks like we're going to get Kyle Trask starting the second preseason game. And it's just such a weird arc here, just in general for Baker Mayfield. He went from Heisman Trophy, first overall pick, pretty decent start to his career. Remember year one, I know some Browns fans. If you're a Browns fan, you might have thought it too. Thought they had something. Like it was like, finally, we got something here. And then it fizzled out, man. It fizzled out so quickly. Then he goes to Carolina, has a shot, maybe, although that was a sinking ship, to right things. That didn't work. Goes to L.A., and honestly, I'll give him credit where credit is due. It was an impossible task to come in and have to start there for the Rams at the end of the season. If you're a quarterback coming in at any point during like the actual season, it's brutal if you don't know the system. It is brutal. So credit where credit's due. But I feel like we are, you know, we're kind of in Carson Wentz territory here, right? Carson Wentz, very similar, high draft pick for the Philadelphia Eagles, look like, whoa, we got something. And then that fizzled out. Then he goes, has another opportunity with the Colts, didn't work. And then his final with the Commanders, because I don't know if he'll get a sniff at a starting job from here on out. I'm going to basically toss the Rams for Mayfield, and this is his third shot. Because we knew with Stafford there that he was just a placeholder. But this is his third shot, and if he doesn't get it now, that might be it. I mean, backup quarterback, fine, but that might be it. So last season, what did we see out of him? I mean, major drop-off in the average depth of target. Early in his career, he was a high ADOT guy. 2020, for example, 9.2 air yards per throw. Last year, 7.1 in his 12 games played. Not particularly good at all in that area. That likely also contributed to his low passing yards per attempt. He was 31st out of 41 qualifying quarterbacks, which is 6.5 yards per attempt last season. He did have, even though he only played 12 games, as many end zone throws as Daniel Jones, but 11 in 12 games really doesn't move the needle for me. This was an area where he was much better earlier in his career. In 2020, he played 16 games. He threw the ball to the end zone 41 times. That has dramatically declined. He went to 20 in 14 games in 2021. As I just said, 11 in 12 games last year. I don't know if that is a confidence thing. Sometimes these guys do get rattled, and then once that confidence goes, it is tough to get it back. So I don't know. But he did convert 6 of those 11 for touchdowns. So again, I'll give him credit where credit's due. This is just an uphill battle. And here's the challenge. Like we saw, you go from Jameis to Brady, and everything gets better. Like, you know, Mike Evans' touchdown production goes up. Like, he's still going to put up yards kind of regardless of who's there, but the touchdown production goes up. You know, Godwin, not necessarily the touchdown production, but just a consistent volume in that Godwin area of the field. 98 catches in 2021, 104 catches last year. That's what Brady does for you. And he would have probably had, he played 12 games in 2020. 65 catches, so he wouldn't have topped triple digits, but it would have been an 80-plus catch season, possibly had a sniff at 90 catches. That changes when you don't have that caliber of quarterback for both Evans and Godwin. And this is something we have to take on board. You know, I've mentioned in this podcast series, there are certain quarterbacks who I'm not going to land based on how I draft. I'm not going to land Jalen Hurts in most instances, but I can get a piece of Jalen Hurts indirectly when in the leagues where I draft A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith or even Dallas Goedert. You know, same thing with Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. You can get pieces of those guys without necessarily having to draft them directly. Well, this is kind of the opposite, right? It is the opposite. If you draft Mike Evans, you draft Chris Godwin, you're indirectly now tied to either Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask, or more likely both of them, because they'll probably both start at different points during the season. And honestly, I look at this team, you know, are they Arizona bad? No, they're not. They're not maybe Houston bad either, but they're not that far off from that. And each year, yes, we think there's the worst team in the league coming in. And sometimes, yes, it is that team who ends up with the first overall pick, but not always. And this is a team who could very well land that first overall pick. Now, granted, you get that. Everything is right with the world because you land a rock star in Caleb Williams, who I do think comes out. Maybe Drake May comes out as well. I doubt he would be in competition for the number one overall pick, but they could still be in the mix for another franchise quarterback next year. But it's going to be rough. And this has to be taken on board if you're going to go with either Godwin or Evans. I don't think Russell Gage is an option, but he still should be the number three option. And that also applies to Cade Otton if you were in deeper leagues and you wanted to take a flyer on him. I don't mind Cade Otton. I think he's a nice player. Really saw him move around the formation last season. 48% of the time he was in the slot, 12% split out wide, 40% in line. Didn't really stay into block either. So I actually was pretty impressed with him. 42 catches, 391, 2 touchdowns. That's not going to win you any fantasy leagues for sure, but for a rookie tight end with who we had relatively low expectations for, it really wasn't that bad for Cade Otton last season. But again, you're indirectly tied, I guess you're directly tied to Baker Mayfield and or Kyle Trask. So that's tough. I want to see Mike Evans' streak continue. He has 9 straight 1,000-yard seasons. He's also 45th in NFL history in receiving yards. So I'd love to see the streak continue, put another 1,000-yard season. It's going to be tough. If he does it, that's pretty darn impressive. Last year, his touchdown numbers did go down to, by the way, 13 in 2020, 14 in 2021, just 6 last season. So, you know, that hurt a little bit, but he still had the flair for the big play. 5 catches of 40-plus yards. He had 3 100-yard games to the previous season. So, he's doing Mike Evans. Like, there's really no decline. And, you know, touchdown numbers are going to go up and down. But can he do it this year? That would be very impressive if he can do so. Of course, Godwin, I mentioned, volume, volume, volume. 73% slot rate last season. So he's in the slot. He was one of the highest in the league in terms of slot rate. 11th highest, in fact, out of 103 qualifying wideouts. But the efficiency did tail off a little bit last year. However, 1.76 yards per route run is still pretty darn good, but it was one of the least efficient of his career. So there's that. But I would expect the efficiency to go down this year for really everybody. So let's talk about Rashad White. He may be least impacted by Baker Mayfield / Kyle Trask, but he's still impacted, right? And, you know, obviously he's in the lead. He doesn't have Leonard Fournette to deal with any longer. And it's pretty darn clear because you have Keyshawn Vaughn and Chase Edmonds sort of battling it out for the number two job. And I don't think it's clear. Like, we had originally heard, well, Chase Edmonds, but then we're also hearing, well, Keyshawn Vaughn is still in the mix, and maybe there isn't just one guy who is the number two in this backfield, right? But either way, minimal competition for touches. So he should see the touches. He caught 50 balls last year, like, which I still look at that, and I'm like, that can't be right, but it is. It's right. He had 58 targets, 50 catches, 290 yards and 2 touchdowns. He had more touchdowns as a receiver than as a runner last year. But where he really needs to take that step forward is as a runner. Last year was not an efficient season, and it wasn't just him; it was Leonard Fournette as well. So more symptomatic of the team. 129 carries, 478 yards. That's 3.7 per. and he was very ineffective after first contact. Last season, only Leonard Fournette and Jerick McKinnon averaged fewer yards after contact per attempt. White was at 2.33, Fournette 2.31. McKinnon was not effective at all at 2.26, but nobody expects him to be because he's a passing down back. So this one will be interesting. We didn't see a lot of goal line work for him either. Fournette had 11 last season, so it's tricky. It is tricky. Now, if Rashad White falls past the dead zone into the seventh round, if he's still there, I don't mind taking him because we're not overpaying at that point. But we're also realizing the team could be pretty bad and it may be tough to come by a lot of fantasy points out of him. That's the reality. However, the point being, you're getting him at the discount, so it's actually worth paying that price, right? You're kind of getting him like on the clearance rack because of the potential that the offense in general could struggle thanks to Baker Mayfield / Kyle Trask. And I hope I'm wrong here. I really do, but I mean, it's going to be tough for this team to move the football. That being said, can Rashad White see 250-plus touches? Yeah, given the minimal competition in that backfield, and the coaching staff has talked him up. So there you go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Guess what? We have two left. Tennessee Titans coming at us next, and then, of course, Washington, the Commanders, rounding it out. Don't forget FTNFantasy.com. Use that promo code RATPACK to get yourself 10% off. And if you want it for free, all you have to do is review the podcast on Apple Podcasts and rate it. Leave your Twitter handle or your Instagram handle. Just let me know it's Instagram. In the review, you're entered in to win. You can follow along with me on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe there. And fantasy football draft season is here, baby. I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.